Now, because of the nature of that which we are studying this weekend, we are all allowed to ask questions. So, but you may need to write out your question on a sheet of paper. And then, after this session, we'll take questions. Amen? All right, so you can write out questions. Questions that pertain to your own unique experience with the Holy Spirit, the things that you are finding difficult to understand in your own unique experience with the Holy Spirit. We saw the language of the Spirit. Language of the Spirit. Language of the Spirit. We saw words that are spirit and words that are life. Words that are life normally release a ventilation upon the human heart when they are released to us. They release a ventilation or a weight on the human heart. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, those are communications. The burdens of the Lord that we bear are communications. They're responses from God. And those are communications that are not cognitive. Your mind is bypassed in that kind of communication. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God is demanding a response from your life. He's demanding participation with Him. And so He has a lot of such communications. A lot of such communications. We have stirrings. We have bodings. We have peace. Hallelujah. Peace. We have promptings. We have impressions. All of these are communication. Spirit-based communication. Life-based communication. And you should be able to decipher the implication of this type of communication. Because most of God's feedback will be captured within this mode. And it is needful for you to become very, very articulate in discerning the intention of God prior to this time when I seek the face of God. When I seek the face of God and I spend time to pray, especially if there's an issue that is bothering me and I'm trying to get God's impute on the issue. I was expecting that God would communicate to me in a certain way. Maybe by an inner voice. We'll go into those levels. Those levels are cognitive communications. Those are the kind of communications that God decides to carry your mind along. But you have to master the non-cognitive communications. You have to master the non-cognitive communication before you master the cognitive communication. You must learn how to obey God in the non-cognitive communication. Then it will be easier for you to obey Him in the cognitive communication. For instance, if there is a burden, and God impressed your heart with a burden, normally, you have the sense of the burden inside. And the sense of the burden is a weight on your heart, a weight that presses your heart. But your understanding is unfruitful as to the message of the weight. See, this kind of communication is spirit-to-spirit communication. That's what the Bible calls deep, calling unto deep. The deep in God is calling unto the deep in you. And that is what is illustrated in the book of Ezekiel, when the Bible talks about the wheels within the wheels. It's talking about the movements within God. and the movements within your spirit, and the movements within God, when those movements are transmitted, your spirit is supposed to catch the frequency that God is moving, and then your spirit now sustains the perspective of that movement. It's the wheels within the wheels. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit is moving. There's a wheel in him. There's a stirring in the Holy Ghost. And then through discernment, you begin to pick up that stirring. It's a spirit-to-spirit communication. So it excludes your mind. So you feel the weight of the wheels, the weight of the movements of the Holy Ghost. You feel that weight upon your heart, but your understanding is unfruitful. Hallelujah. Now, there are several things in your walk with God, several assignments that God will have you do, that it is in your interest for you not to know what you are doing. It's in your interest. Hallelujah. And so, you don't need to understand before you can participate, because we don't live by God's explanations. We live by God's instructions. A believer's heart that is not configured, that is not desirous to obey God, can never master the ways of the Spirit of God. Unfortunately for us, the investment that we have from God is in spirit form. And it's on the strength of that investment that God is expecting us to realize the potentials that He has embedded therein. And so, for every believer in Jesus Christ, you will have to master the communication mode of the Holy Ghost. Now, it will take a lot of faith for you to obey the demand of a burden, because you don't understand it cognitively. So it will take faith for you to respond. It will take faith for you to know that, irrespective of the fact that you cannot fully articulate what the issue is, your faith keeps you on course as you seek to prosecute the call of that burden. Now, a burden makes you uneasy, so the only way you can deal properly with a burden is to seek that it be diffused. All right? And in diffusing a burden, intercession is required. Not just intercession in a language that you understand, but intercession in tongues. Because since the communication was not done cognitively, you cannot speak in your understanding sufficient to capture what is required in that communication. So you have to attend to the matter by spirit-to-spirit communication. Now, as you are doing that, the layer of your mind is kept vacant. You will learn how to obey God when you don't understand first, before God begins to bring you into the understanding of what He's doing. So the non-cognitive communication is the first layer of communication that you must master. Hallelujah. And if you don't master that layer, it will be difficult for you to master and to obey God, even if you know what He wants. So you will respond to Him even when you have not yet fully articulated what He wants. It will become natural for you to respond when you receive a spirit-to-spirit communication. The Bible says that God is the Father of all spirits. So He can address any spirit, including your own spirit. He can address your spirit. He can relate with your spirit. He can influence your spirit, because He is the Father of all spirits. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, the Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. It doesn't mean that when you ask God, show me who this person is, because I had an invitation to go preach somewhere in one African country, so I ran to my father in the Lord and I asked him, am I too young to start international ministry? He said, no.
No.
Yeah. In fact, you are too old. It's all right.
No problem.
Then I said, okay, the reason why I'm asking this question is because I have an invitation in this country. So please. You see, the thing I need to understand about ministering in the African continent is that many pastors on the continent are fraudulent. So, I have to pray and find out from God if the person that is inviting me is really a pastor. Wow. So I went to pray. And I prayed for 1 year. That means the invitation the guy extended to me, I didn't respond to it that year. I prayed till for 12 months. And every time I prayed about him, I felt peace. I did not have a word from God as far. This guy is good. This guy, no. I just felt peace. And I started liking the guy in my heart. I said, okay. This is enough confirmation for me. You see, the Bible says what? Henceforth know we no man after. If we want to get the Holy Spirit's testimony about a person, sometimes the Holy Spirit may not even speak in cognitive terms. It just releases a seal of approval. Now, so I got that peace. And I felt good about the guy. And we had not met. I said, okay, Lord, if it is true that... because he invited me 1 year ago, so I did not even respond to him. So if it is true that you are the one that is organizing this thing, then you move him to invite me again. After 12 months of tarrying to find out whether that guy was of God. Then... Two, 3 weeks after that prayer, the guy called and said, you have still not honored our invitation. I said, all right, this time I'm coming. So we started doing the papers, doing all of that. And then when I got there in that nation, that guy was, or not was, East. That guy is like number one preacher in that nation. And he's not doing his own ministry in the city. He's doing it in the village. When I came there and I saw the first night were about 1,500 people. And as we were going, the number was swelling. People started coming from other countries. From Zambia, from Tanzania. The number was swelling. That guy refused to go to the capital of the city. He just stayed at the countryside and doing evangelism, discipling people. And you need to see people that are possessed in those parts. Now, the only thing that God did to show me that that guy was a servant was that he gave me peace and he started making me like him. That was spirit-to-spirit communication. And then when I went and met him physically, he was exactly what the Holy Ghost impressed upon my heart. Non-cognitive communication. He bore witness in my spirit about another person. You see, so he is doing that as the father of all spirits. So he's linking up with your spirit and he's bypassing your mind. That is the first context of feedback that we'll get from God. Hallelujah. Is that clear? And please don't joke with the witness of the Holy Ghost. Don't joke with it. Don't joke with the witness of the Holy Ghost. Witness. Witness of the Holy Ghost. You can go to a place and then somebody comes and spoils somebody before you and say, this person is a terrible person. You are just coming. So somebody there wants to arrange you and manage you and bend your mind about somebody. After the person finishes talking about the other person, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit brings a witness about the person. And the witness of the Holy Spirit seems to be contrary to what the person was saying about the individual. Then when you now probe further, you will now see that the person that is actually bad is the person that came to manage you. Not the person that we're talking about. If you follow what people say about people, you will hate the people you should love. and probably love the people you should hate. Now, so we must be used to spirit-to-spirit communication. Don't hear what people say. No. I relate with people based on the witness I have in my spirit about them. Because human beings talk too much. You will be wrong if you listen to people. Some people may be sent to bring deliverance to your life. But before you met them, somebody came to manage you and to bend your mind. You now sustain that perspective. And if you successfully sustain that perspective, you are not a spiritual person. You are a very carnal person. A very carnal person. Today, that guy that invited me today has become a major preacher in southern parts of Africa. After the meeting we held, he went to open a church in Zambia. After opening the church in Zambia, he opened another one in South Africa. He is a great, great, great evangelist. Hallelujah. In fact, he is so gifted in raising cripples. So gifted. That line is his own. God gave him. He is mad. Hallelujah. He called me again and said, he showed me what God is doing in South Africa. I said, his only problem now is that he can't teach. I should come and teach his people. He has a crowd that he can't teach. Because when I went there and I began to teach the Bible, they see, people know Bible. They don't even know what teaching anointing is. That some people are graced with the ability to expose and expound the scriptures. Their own Sunday service is not the type we do here. They start by 8 o'clock and they run the service to 4 p.m., 5 p.m. in the evening. Yes. Not this, you just come, just say, you are worthy to be praised, then we are finished. Now, based on a little witness of the Holy Spirit, God began a friendship that is moving into something big. But God did not speak, God just gave me what? A witness. And that's why I say, don't trivialize a witness of the Spirit. Spirit-to-spirit communication. So non-cognitive communication is the first type of communication that God begins to advance in the life of a believer. And you have to perfect that. You have to understand non-cognitive communication and respond to it effectively. Master it before God now begins to give you the second layer of communication, which has to do with the cognitive. It takes your spirit and your mind along. So if God places a burden upon your heart, and you cannot do justice to that burden, to diffuse it. Now, you can't believe me, so stay with me. All right. I said that most of what we call the book of Isaiah came in form of burdens. Burdens. First of all, the guy dealt properly with the burdens and diffused them through intercession. After he finished diffusing them, he now went to God and said, God, wait. You have activated me to attend to this burden. But you see, I did not even know what I was praying about. What exactly was I praying about? Then God begins to give him insight. So that's why he wrote in the book of Isaiah, the burden of the Lord. It came as a burden first. He dispatched the burden and diffused the burden in the place of intercession. Then went back to God to ask him what the burden was about. And then God now began to educate him about what he was handling. So he now wrote it down. The burden of the Lord. If you see that a lot in the book of Isaiah. The man received that thing first in a non-cognitive form. Attended to it. Then went back to God to ask God to give him insight into what the burden was about. It was when those dimensions of disclosures came that he now wrote it down. Now, but most of us attend to a burden. Most of us attend to a burden. And when it is diffused, we say glory to God. Then we move on. Isaiah was not such a person. He would still go further to ask, what burden was that? So I will take you to the point of what we call spiritual intelligence. Because every non-cognitive communication that God gives you that you begin to attend to. It is expected that you will go a step further. Having attended to it, and there's no more pressure, there's no more emergency, you can ask God, what exactly was that about? It's not every time you receive an answer, but few times answers will come, and those answers will help you understand your God. You see, you are going to get to understand God experientially. The things I'm teaching you now is coming out of the wealth of experiential understanding that I've captured from God. Yes, that's where it's coming from. If you have not experienced God as much as I have experienced Him, you can't do what I'm doing. And that is the dimension of teaching that is missing in the body of Christ. People no longer teach the knowledge of God, the experiential knowledge of God. So people cannot relate to God. They don't understand the frequency that God is transmitting. They don't understand the dynamics of relating with a spirit being, because they are not fed with experiential insights as to the protocols of engaging God. Amen. So, non-cognitive communication, as I was saying, we have a few of them which you need to take note of. A burden. A burden is a call to duty. It is full-fledged communication from God. It's a call to duty. And you don't need to know the duty before you deploy your resources to prosecute it. A stirring is a call to action. Call to action. It's a situation on ground. And when you come into the environment of the situation, if you sense a stirring, it means God wants to use you to deal with the situation. And I gave you the example of the guy that was mad that they brought here. It was on Christmas Day. So when I came to the place and I moved close to him, I felt the stirring, what I normally feel when I'm clothed with the power of God. So I knew that God wanted to attend to the case. I laid my hands upon him for 12, 13 minutes, and the guy slept in my hands, and I put him down. Then I gave them an instruction. If he wakes up, give him food. So he woke up with his right mind. He was so healed that he went back to school and finished his university education. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, it was a stirring I felt, an activation, an animation. So a stirring is a call to action. Then we have a prompting. A prompting. A prompting. A prompting is also a call to action, but a prompting is a call. Call. Call to vocal action. God is prompting you to speak. He's prompting you to speak. It's mostly a call to vocal action. Vocal action. The scripture he gave you yesterday night, he's prompting you to read that scripture now. You can be praying, leading prayer, and then suddenly he begins to prompt you to retrieve a scripture that he discussed with you yesterday night, because that's the scripture for the moment. You see, the thing about the Holy Spirit is his presence, his dimensions, his reality breaks out when you obey him. So you will not have an experience of God until you master how to obey God. So your experience of God is tied to your obedience to God. It's tied to that. Not just obedience in big things, but obedience to God in very, very small things too. Small things like the scripture he gave you yesterday, he's asking you to use it now. Meanwhile, you have the liberty to use so many scriptures to do the prayers, especially when you know the prayer points. So many scriptures are at your disposal. But the great one is saying, use this scripture. Use this one. Use this scripture. Yeah, it's laid there. You are prompted. You are prompted. It's as if it's disturbing you. And then you now take the scripture. They begin to read. And as you are reading it, it doesn't sound as if, doesn't look as if there was any anointing that came on you, but you were just obeying. And while you began to obey, something began to happen in the congregation. God wanted to use your obedience as a means to break out. So when you align with Him, He has found a vessel that is in alignment so He can stand on that vessel and reach out to the person He wants to reach out to. Even you may not even know who He had in mind before the prompting began. But somebody will have to obey Him right of way to prosecute what He had in His hand. So a prompting is normally a call to action in the area of call to vocal action, normally. Vocal activity, vocal alignment, saying what God is saying. Are you with me? Saying what God is saying. Saying what God has put in your mouth. Saying what God is saying. When you say what God is saying, you are likely to see what God saw before He began to speak. It's like a conduit. It's like a pipe. When you say what God is saying, the grace of God will pass through your vocal cord. It will be used as an instrument to bring redemption, to bring change. But you see, you must know how to align with God. Now, many times we come to the pulpit and you have a message prepared. Probably you spent so much time, about 2 weeks you were doing the study, adding scriptures, aligning it so that it will be systematic, it will follow a very cognitive sequence of thought, it will make so much sense, and you had crystallized it already. And then suddenly, came to the pulpit, there was a prompting to change it to a scripture that was not part of your script. And he kept disturbing you. So if you can leave that your message and go to the one that is asking you to begin to preach, that one you are not familiar with, so you cannot control. If you are not used to it, you will disobey him and follow what you came with. And that's why his presence will not come around that kind of ministry. Because you don't understand the implication. God wants to break out. He wants to do something. He must get a man to obey an instruction that, okay, that is risky. If God wants to move in His power, if He wants to do something new, He gets a man to obey an instruction that is risky. It is faith that will make you take that risk, because you know it's God that is giving you the instruction to leap that high. Hallelujah. We need men. We need women that know how to respond to God. Amen. We have things like impressions. How many of you have an impression? An impression. An impression is when God writes on your heart. Writes on your heart. The most basic example of an impression is when God lays a scripture on your heart. That's an impression. Sometimes when God really gets ready to walk, maybe He wants to send you on an assignment. Maybe you have a calling. There's a ministry in your life, and He wants to give perspective to that ministry. Then He now gives you a scripture. When He does that, that scripture is much, much more than a verse of the Bible to you. The one He gave you as an illustration of the kind of ministry He has given to you. For me, it's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. When God gives you a scripture pertaining to your ministry, what God is doing is that you are an expression of that scripture. That scripture is made flesh in you. Those are strong things. Now, there is no way I can change Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I am an expression of that scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you will see God raising a prophet A prophet that had a corrective ministry. A prophet that is raised at a time where there was so much decay in the faith of the people. And he was raised as a plumb line to provide corrective perspective to the decline that has besieged a generation. That kind of a messenger, hallelujah, is going to be somebody that is considered controversial, because his own perspective most often will be different from what is commonplace. Meanwhile, it is not him that has a problem. It's the generation that is plunging into darkness. And they have changed the price tag, changed the goalposts many times. And then somebody now rises up. Truth is not a relative pendulum. Truth is a fixed star. She now rises up as a fixed star in a generation to give perspective when things are just happening anyhow. So he will be considered a controversial figure. So God gave me those scriptures. So I knew the kind of persecution that I was going to have in doing that kind of ministry. Because I read about Jeremiah, I saw that his life was really under threat. Because he was the carrier of the voice of God in a time where people did not care about God anymore. He wanted to maintain the standards of God, the principles of walking with God, the principles of alignment with God. And he gave the nation prophecies, directives from God as to how they should tackle several national issues. But his voice was not respected because they felt he was a troublemaker, just looking for an occasion to make trouble. But you see, he was trying to bring the nation back to accurate worship and accurate reverence of God. Hallelujah. He went to prison. Many, if I came and said, okay, I won't preach again, because the sufferings were much. In the midst of his refusing to preach, the Bible says he felt as if there was fire locked up in his bones. So I now discover that what gave Jeremiah utterance was a fire. So I studied his life and I knew what God wanted me to do. And Jeremiah was called as a young man. And he was sent to a rebellious house. He was sent at a strange time. So God gave me the same scripture that he gave Jeremiah to commission Jeremiah. That's the same scripture he gave. So I knew that I'm going to be considered a controversial figure. You will soon find out when we do the next strand of Bible study. Because we'll be going deeper into the prophetic ministry. We'll be able to judge the current manifestation of the prophetic ministry that we have come to see in our nation today. And we'll contrast that position with the position of the Bible, and then you might find a problem. You see, that's my work. It might be controversial, but that's my work. Because God impressed a scripture that was illustrative of my approach to ministry. He impressed it upon my heart. And that scripture that was impressed upon my heart when God was trying to explain the kind of ministry he had given me was actually an illustration of what I was going to be. You see, also Jeremiah was given charge over nations and over kingdoms. That was when I knew I had an international ministry. There were several prophets that could prophesy in one nation. When you take them to another nation, they don't have utterance. Because they were not called as international prophets. You see? But Jeremiah could prophesy in anywhere you take him. He'll begin to peep into the landscape of the territory. And he will find the voice of God for that land. All these things I'm telling you came by an impression of a scripture. As of scriptures that God impressed upon your heart is just a revelation of what you are. You are a living epistle of that scripture. Impressions can be so powerful. It can be a brand. God can use an impression to brand you This is your type. This is your style. Hallelujah. All of those are communications. Now, I need to tell us that there is an installed capacity, inbuilt capacity in you that the Holy Spirit normally takes advantage of. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive the kingdom of God. So the proof that you are born again is that a different perspective of consciousness is sustained. Different perspective of consciousness is sustained. Now, the life of God that is in your spirit man on the account of your regeneration gives you consciousness of the realm of God. So Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot have that kind of perception. Human life, which is resident in your soul, makes you conscious of yourself and how your environment relates to you. But you see, divine life, which we receive when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, divine life gives us consciousness of God's realm, God's kingdom, God's movement. You see, so upon the receipt of that life, there is a consciousness that the life makes available to us that we cannot have any other way. Now, my emphasis is on the word see. Because in the original writing, the word see there is translates to perceive. So there's a new line of consciousness and perceptions that are opened up on the account of our regeneration, our being born again. Right? Is that line of perception that I want to speak about? We perceive kingdom reality because we are born again. Now, you see, the word used there is born, to give birth to. Just like I normally say, that before you were born in the natural from your mother's womb, you had senses. You had an eye. When you were 9 months old in the womb, you had an eye. But the use of the eye was not for the womb. You had to be born first before the eye becomes relevant. You had an ear, but the use of the ear was not for the womb. You had to be born first in order for the ears to become relevant. Now, you see, you also have spiritual senses. But you had to be born again first before those perceptions can become relevant to you. The perceptions you have in the natural were not relevant to you in the womb. You had to be born again. Then, your hearing becomes relevant. Your seeing becomes relevant because you have been born into the realm where the senses are required. In the same way, when you become born again, you have been born into a realm where your spiritual senses that were designed, built into you, will be required. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit that came into your spirit on the account of your regeneration activates your spiritual senses and gives you perception of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Is that clear? And these are the words of Jesus. So, the Holy Spirit is going to be using those your spiritual senses a lot in furnishing this perception. In furnishing what? This perception. Now, so, I have thought on this before, but I felt like touching it before I now go into cognitive communication. After cognitive communication, then I show you the two streams of the Spirit of God. The two streams. It is either of these streams that the Holy Spirit uses to reach you. Alright? The first of the streams we are going to see is called inspiration. The second stream is called revelation. So there are some communications of God that are tied to inspiration. There are other sets of communications that are tied to revelation. See that? Now, so I will teach us what inspiration is. I will teach us what revelation is. Having taught what inspiration is, I can now show you in the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit that are inspirational gifts. Having taught you what revelation is, I can now show you the gifts of the Spirit that are revelational gifts. Then you'll be able to understand accurately what those things are. Then we'll now major on the office of the prophet. Then I will show you some permutations about that office, how to judge a prophet, how to judge his prophecy, how to test things, spiritual things. Because you will need to test the things you are hearing in your heart to know whether they are of God first. You would have tested your own before you can test others. Because it's not only God that can speak to you. There are familiar spirits that masquerade. And those spirits too can communicate to you using your spiritual senses. And they will masquerade as if it is God talking. And so we need to be trained on how to discern what is talking to you. We don't doubt that something is talking, but we need to know what is talking. I remember some years ago, there was a young man, young, promising man here. He's not here now. Hallelujah. So this young man, the anointing of God was coming on him. And 13 ladies came to me and told me that God has revealed that that young man is their husband. 13. Yeah. I kept the number. 13 of them. Now, we are not doubting that the ladies did not hear. They heard something. Yeah. But the problem is not that whether they heard, they actually heard something. But we need to check the station, the FM station that was transmitting what. So I will show us how to test the things. There are several people, when they came here, they were looking so haggard. Then some others came to me and said, we have been praying and God has been revealing to us that agents will visit this ministry. And from the way I'm seeing, this person is also an agent. And those people that those other people call agents are my strongest men today. And so if I had followed those their prophecies, I would have missed the people that God sent to my life to stand with me in the work of the ministry. What did they call them? Agents. Now, the problem, see, the people are hearing something.
Don't trade, they didn't hear anything. They are hearing. But you see, there are many transmissions in the spirit realm. And you will first have to know how to apply discernment to the things you are hearing first. And be able to sort the voice of God out of the many noises that is coming into your heart. You must be skillful in that. Because the devil is aware that the investment you have from God, from whence God is expecting you to become a strong man in his kingdom, is spirit investment. So he masquerades also and gives you spirit kind of transmissions. So we should be able to trace the transmission to the station. There are ways to do that. Hallelujah. Even when I'm ministering, as I'm ministering, some spirits will be speaking. But see, I know by reason of use, experience, I know which one is God. So there will be infiltrating your receptacle. So you must know how to judge it so that you will be able to take the voice of God out of the chaff. Hallelujah. There was somebody here that used to fast, long fast. So I came one day and said, stop fasting. When I left, the person continued fasting. I came back, met the person fasting. I said, did you hear that I said you should stop fasting? So he heard, but God, when I left, God was telling her that if she stopped fasting, she would die. God. So she was hearing. Years later, we found out that it was not God that was speaking to her. But you don't need to go through the experience she went through. Right? You don't need to go through that. So, the fact that you're hearing something doesn't mean it's gone. I hope you have a transistor. For those of you that have a transistor radio, if you change the knob, you can hit other channels. You don't know. Somebody can put pressure on you in the office and you speak. You get angry. You didn't know that in your anger, the knob had changed. You were on another frequency. And then from that frequency, you started hearing. We will look at it systematically, one by one, and know how to be always accurate with the Holy Spirit. First of all, let us check the issue of your spiritual senses. These are senses. I tried to give them a name that will help me communicate the next strand of things I want to reveal to you that would differentiate, but I could not do it with the Bible, so I left it like that. I will use the names in the Bible, but it will confuse you at some point. When the confusion comes, I will now explain further. Is that clear? All right, so. Okay, let's do John chapter 13, verse 1. John 13, verse 1. If you have been attending Bible studies, I've been handling these issues. But for the sake of those that traveled in, let's just go this way so that we can follow the progression gradually. It's a school. It's a lecture. Hallelujah. And when we do the lecture, we'll now do the practical. Hallelujah. So the practical for today's session will take 30 minutes. It's a long practical. This is the longest for people to understand. This practical I want to do today. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and that he was
come from God and went to God. Now stop there. Underline, knowing. Now, this scripture is giving us insight into Jesus' spiritual condition. He knew that the Father has committed all things into his hand. And he also knew that he was come from God. He also knew that he was going back to God. You are not with me? There is no way a human being can know that he's going back to God through intellectual knowledge. And so you can see that that knowing was on the strength of a spiritual sense. He knew that the Father has committed all things into his hand. He knew that he was come, what? From God. And he knew that he was going to God. So the first spiritual sense is knowing. You can know strange things. Knowing. Are you with me? Knowing as a spiritual sense. We call this the knowing of revelation. The knowing of revelation. Knowing of what? Revelation. He knew that the Father had committed all things into his hand. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. Now, this knowing that Jesus had, alright, made him such that he was fully aware that there was nothing he could do to him. He knew his hour had come that he should depart out of this world. He knew that the Father has delivered all things into his hand. He knew that he had come from God. And he knew that he was going back to God. What can you do to a man that knows all of that? You know, you need a knowing in your office. I have a knowing about many things. A lot of people during promotion time, they begin to call and to lobby. I don't do that because I have a knowing about how I will ascend in the office. I have a knowing. So you cannot threaten a man that has a knowing. He has access to information that transcends cognitive knowledge. That information gives him so much confidence. When you find believers that are cutting corners, believers that are manipulative, those are people that don't know anything. So they are using carnal means, falling means to manipulate. But a man that has a knowing is as confident as a rock. And so he knew. That's the first spiritual sense. Are you with me? Good. Second spiritual sense. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showed him all things that he himself doeth. And it will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The proof that the Father loves the Son is in the fact that the Father shows the Son everything that he doeth. Have you read that scripture that says, Surely the Lord will not do anything except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That revelation has to do with a special love that God has. For the Father loveth the Son and what? Showeth him all things that he doeth. So what are the proofs of God's special love for individuals? Is that it begins to show you the things that what he is doing. If he wants to do something, you stop by your house and say, I want to do this. And I felt you should know. So, you see, he showeth him. So that's what we call the sight of affection. The sight of what? Affection. It is the love that God has for Jesus that makes him show him the things that he doeth. The sight of affection. That sight is a proof that God, what? Is affectionate about this person. That's the second point. So there are those sights, those things that God shows. And then you now look into heaven and you now see what God is doing. Ah, okay. As God is doing this, because he's doing this, this thing will happen here. You see, as the Father quickeneth the dead, even so the Son quickens. In the same way, so when you see what the Father is doing, you copy him in the same way. And that thing which the Father is doing will now manifest here. It is through the sight of affection that kind of manifestation takes place. Hallelujah. Third sense. Don't joke with these spiritual senses. Third sense is what we call the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. Acts chapter 10. The hearing of faith. Hearing. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, the voice, Rise, Peter, kill. And there came a voice. That's what we call the hearing of faith. Hearing. It's a hearing. But it's not a hearing that you hear using your physical ears. It's a hearing that you hear using your spiritual ears. So he heard the voice with his spiritual ears. Arise, Peter, kill, and eat. Alright? Arise, Peter, kill, and eat. So that hearing is one of your senses. Good. Are you with me? Finally, we have the taste of discernment. The taste of discernment. Psalms 34 verse 8 will be the simplest scripture for that. The taste of discernment. Your taste of discernment. Where are we? Psalm 34 verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. O taste and see. It's a kind of knowing, the kind of discernment that comes based on experience. It's a kind of knowledge. Like if I've been your friend for 5 years, experience has shown me who you are. So if somebody comes and says, Evangelist Chris did this, I will know what you are capable of because I've tasted Evangelist Chris experientially. And I have a conclusion about him. And Evangelist Chris cannot do that which you are saying because I've experienced him. And so the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now let me give you another scripture. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 3. If so be that he have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, many people might say a lot of things about Jesus. Many people. But the people that have the accurate position are people that have experienced him. Jesus is available for experience to even to the vilest unbeliever. And when the vilest unbeliever gives Jesus a chance to come into his heart, and Jesus begins to relate with that person, the person, even though the person might be a Muslim, in the mosque where they discredit Jesus, upon tasting of Jesus, he will know that Jesus is very different from what he was told. Now, so we have a capacity in our spiritual senses to experientially know things. Now, so the way we'll get to know God, as you must have realized, our knowledge of God is based on experiential means. So when you tell lies, you lose your peace. Experience has shown you that it's not profitable for you to be telling lies. If you want to walk with God, you stop telling lies. When you do this, God now goes. God is angry. You stop doing that. So you begin to walk with him. When you experience, you shut that down. So it's experientially that we get to master God. And so that scripture is an invitation to every one of us to take the risk to experience God. And if you have so taken the risk, you would have found that the Lord is gracious. So this is what we call the taste of discernment. You will find the truth experientially. So we have that capacity embedded and inbuilt in our spiritual system, our spiritual sense system, to be able to experientially discern someone we have encountered. Is that clear? All right. Now, based on this, meanwhile, I want you to understand that what we have been considering are senses. Exactly. Spiritual what? Just like your ear, the function of your ear is to hear. So I say we have one sense called the sense of knowing. Because the first way God will communicate to you is through that sense. He will give you knowing. So I'm trying to describe knowing now, not as a sense, but knowing as a way of communication that God uses. Is that clear? You see, because of this knowing, I was trying to look for another name for that knowing so that I can separate the sense from the channel. But I couldn't do it using the Bible. And I don't want us to be technically wrong. Okay? Is that clear? Because the first kind of communication that is cognitive communication is what? The knowing. Is that clear now? Knowing. So let me explain to us. You can take your notes now. A knowing is an inner ability. A knowing is an inner ability to discern a thing for what it really is. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or superficial. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or superficial look of things. This knowledge goes beyond the surface or superficial look of things into their very nature. Through this knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about people or things. Through this knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about people or things. An example of this is Luke chapter 6, verse 8. Through this knowledge, you can access God's inner testimony about people, about things, etc. Hallelujah. Now, so, a knowing takes you beyond the superficial. The person can be looking rugged. Can be looking like a troublesome person. But in the knowing, God's communication in form of knowing will take you beyond the superficial look. And it will give you the perspective of God's inner testimony about the person. There are a lot of people that have looked at people physically. Are you with me? And because of the way they looked, they prophesied that these people are like this. If you don't have a knowing, you may not be able to judge that prophecy. The prophecy, when you listen to the prophecy and you look at the facts and figures, it's as if the prophecy is correct. But the knowing goes beyond the face value judgment into the very nature of a thing. The Bible speaks about the messianic spirit. And it says, this spirit will not judge after the sight of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge and make war. Now, that level of deployment is on another pedestal entirely. Are you with me? He said, he shall not judge after what? The sight of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. That's an inner judgment. He'll be walking with an inner testimony that is deeper than superficial knowledge. Hallelujah. Second cognitive type of communication, when God takes your mind along, is the inner voice. Hallelujah. Is the what? Inner voice. I hope you have perfected the non-cognitive aspect. When you go back, try to be a master of that aspect. Try not to fail in the non-cognitive aspect. If you work on that one very well, this one will be a walkover. Meanwhile, it's these ones people are looking for. But they don't know that you will never come here and become a master here if you have not mastered the non-cognitive aspect. People want to be hearing the voice of God. And I need you to know that this voice of God is just 20% of God's communication that is captured in voice. Yes, 20%. Have you not fasted before? Fasted 7 days, you didn't hear any voice. It's very scarce. And that's how all of us are expecting God to give us feedback along this line. It's scarce. And I need you to know that. Very scarce. Very scarce. It's not like that. Meanwhile, when you are under the gift, the anointing, you can hear for people. But when you finish that one, when you go back to hear for yourself, you will now see that the voice is scarce. Voice is scarce. To hear for yourself is scarce. But the anointing is there to benefit others. So the Holy Spirit walking through that gift reaches others, reaches others, reaches others. And then the people will think that you have an edge in hearing. They will not know that this one that came by grace to reach others.
And when you are going to hear God, you will hear God by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's where your hearing will come from. If you have not developed that infrastructure, you will be operating on a deficit.
An inner voice refers to a distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought. A distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought, which is facilitated through the unction of the Holy Spirit within you. An inner voice refers to a distinct reception of a perfectly coordinated speech in the language of your thought, facilitated by the unction of the Holy Spirit within you. It precipitates from the very core of your being, and it is normally too strong to ignore. It precipitates from the very core of your being, and it is normally too strong to ignore. Even if it contradicts your own human philosophy. Normally too strong to ignore, even if it contradicts your own human philosophy. The inner voice. Too strong to ignore. Just like Peter. He heard a voice, kill and eat. And as a Jew, he wasn't supposed to eat anything that is unclean. He now said, Lord, I've never ate anything that is unclean before. You see, that voice contradicted his philosophy. Then God now says, who are you to call what I have made clean, unclean? The inner voice. Hallelujah. If you hold on to your philosophy, you will miss the inner voice. You hold on to your wrath, your anger, your bitterness, you will miss the inner voice. The inner voice will not acknowledge your anger, your wrath, your bitterness, that the person did this to you. The inner voice comes and brings the perspective of God. For instance, somebody offended us. He's the one that carried our name. We didn't do anything to him. So we kept quiet. All right? Then when the inner voice came, the inner voice said, go to that person and make peace. What? Go where? Go and make peace. Then I said, okay, I need to see this from the scripture. He now said, when you bring your offering to the altar, and you remember that your brother has ought against you, leave. Not you have ought. He has ought against you. He said, leave your offering. Go and be reconciled with your brother before you come back to. And the guy was, he was feeling good with himself. Oh my God. And we were dying. The inner voice is contrary to your human nature. Everything you get from the inner voice will demean your human nature, your pride, your human dignity, doesn't concern you. In fact, the more spiritual you are, the more God will ensure that you don't subscribe to the philosophy of the human nature. He will send you on errands that will demean you. Oh my. The guy was feeling cool when we showed up. Yeah. Amen. When the discussion began to go on. Right? It became obvious that he was a troublemaker. And he could not
denied the things he had done. And there was a witness there. Hallelujah. There was a witness who is a pastor. These things did not take place in Benue State. So don't be... You are wrong. The witness is what? A pastor. And the pastor was just watching. Then he saw how messed up the guy was. And then sometime in the meeting, when it was obvious that the grounds that he was holding as his means of offense was a totally wrong ground, it was not true. So when that was proven in the meeting, he now stood up and said, he's going to sleep. They said, no, you can't sleep. You lost the right to sleep the moment we showed up. Hallelujah. But you may not know that having gone for such a meeting against your will, you have gone a little further with God. God will put you to the test and see if you can surrender your pride to go a little further with Him. The voice of God normally contradicts your philosophy. Did you get that? So we will use Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 13 as the scripture under that. Number what? 3. Pictures. He always reduces pictures as a means of communication. Visual communication. Visual. Visual communication. Visual. Isaiah chapter 6 will be a good example. Visual. Pictures. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He uses pictures. And those pictures can make an impression on someone. Very strong impression. Where's your box guitar? It's not working. The strings are bad. It's not available. Okay, I'll bring a guitar this evening. Because we need to practice what Samuel used to do in Ramah. Because on the way to Ramah, you will find people with harps, string instruments. So we'll practice what the prophets do in Ramah. How, you know, you, when you want to pass time, you want Champions League. Prophets have a way they enjoy their life. They look for some string instrument. Yes. Is, oh my, the feast of prophets. The third school of prophets will do, bring people that know how to play strings very well, then let them be. Something will happen to you. Yay! So those people knew that there was a relationship between the string instrument and the prophetic grace. They knew that. Not just any instrument, the what? String. Instrument. There are 7 words translated praise in the Bible. One of them means praise Him, touching the strings, the string instrument. When Elisha asked for a minstrel, and there's a relationship between that. So we wanted to practice that today. But we need like 3 guitars. Let one play treble, alto, tenor. And as the thing is moving like that, we take a simple song. Then you see how prophets pass time. If you have done her, it's like taking a bath. That experience I'm saying, taking. There's a freshening. The sound of the string can make you yield to God easily and release your body. Oh my. We'll try that today. If you have a guitar in your house, bring it in the evening. All guitars, bring all. I have one, I'll bring it. Then we'll look for people that can touch it. You will see something that you will not believe. So that was how the prophets used to pass time. They had people that could play the harp. They had a lot of them. And so they would begin to sing, and they would, those were, it was one of those prophetic feasts that Saul now found himself. And then he began to prophesy. And his own, the prophetic was so strong that he prophesied naked. Hallelujah. So we look at Mount Ramah, which is Samuel's prophetic order, and we'll pick one or two things in the lifestyle of prophetic people. Oh, yeah, not with me. All right. So let's go on in our lecture. I'm almost past time. Move to the next session. Session 3. The introductory scripture for session 3 is Job chapter 32, verse 8. Job chapter 32, verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. So we need to talk about inspiration, because there are two basic streams that God uses in his communication. The communications are either inspiration related or revelation related. Okay? They are either what? Inspiration related or revelation related. Now, so you must know what an inspiration is. For there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Exactly. If you know how powerful inspiration is, it's exceedingly powerful. Exceedingly powerful. Exceedingly power. Now, for instance, I had an inspiration. The inspiration lasted for about 15 minutes. That inspiration for 15 minutes was responsible for the teachings I did for like 3-4 contacts. 15 minutes inspiration. Teachings for what? 3-4 contacts. And those teachings are the teachings that were used to write my first book, Kingdom Recalibration. 15 minutes inspiration kept unfolding for like 4 months, and he produced a book, 15 minutes inspiration. Inspiration is very powerful, very, very powerful, exceedingly powerful. But in order for you to be an agent, a stream through which inspiration flows, there are a few things you need to do to support the inspiration mechanism that is built up in your system. Because God's communication will either take the line of inspiration or revelation. Now, I would need to show us the difference between an inspiration and a revelation. It is after we have discussed what inspiration is extensively that we can now go into the gift, the inspirational gifts, the gift of prophecy. Prophecy will take us a long time. I'm dodging it because we don't have time. Even this evening, we don't have time. Prophecy. The most abused gift in the body of Christ. Prophecy. I will tell you how to know that a prophecy is wrong. It's not. It's very easy to know if you know what inspiration is. There is. Hallelujah. Alright. So there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Symptoms of inspiration. One. In inspiration, the Holy Spirit begins to operate the human mind. He does what? He operates the human mind. He. Okay.
you are not with me, sir. Let me give you an example. God begins to think his thoughts, precipitate his thoughts in your thoughts. Okay. Let me give you a scripture quickly. To show you what I'm trying to say. Amen. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, hold on. Underline "doth." "Doth" is what tense? Present continuous tense. So that's his current experience. Is that clear? All right, next verse. "My spirit heart rejoiced in the God of my salvation." Heart is what tense? Past tense. Now, it's the same experience, but the spirit has experienced it before, and the experience is being brought into the regions of the soul now. So what he's experiencing now, his spirit has experienced it, and now the soul is brought into it. In inspiration, the inspiration is not inspiration except the experience goes beyond the spirit and it begins to affect the soul. In inspiration, God will operate your mind. Yes, his spirit will bring his thoughts and fix it into your mind. And your mind will begin to think the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God will start enlarging in your mind. It will be magnified in your mind. Get back to the scripture. 46 again. I'd like you to see something. Now, go. Okay. So, in the soul, the experience is called magnify. In the spirit, what is the experience called? Rejoice. So, the way you sense it in the spirit is different from how it will come out in your soul. You sense it in the spirit in form of rejoicing. You see, that's non-cognitive. And then, the non-cognitive experience that you had in your spirit, and it was as though your spirit was rejoicing. When the experience comes into your soul, and it begins to precipitate in your soul, in the chambers of your soul, that signal is magnify. Do you get that? The little signal. When it comes into your soul, then it begins to precipitate in form of thoughts. And it is magnified in your thoughts. It's not magnified in your spirit, but it's magnified in your soul. You get that? That is the experience of inspiration. So in inspiration, God operates your mind. He puts his thoughts into the chamber of your thoughts. And you begin to think his thoughts. And his thoughts begin to flow like a stream, a torrent. Have you ever had that experience before? It just begins to flow. When that happens, so you get a pen. As you are writing it, it will be flowing, it will be magnifying, magnifying, magnifying. You have actually struck a stream in the spirit, one of the rivers that the Spirit of God is capable of, is a river of inspiration. When you hit it, look for a pen, and God will begin to speak. Inspiration, inspiration, inspiration. So, in inspiration, God decides to operate your mind. He decides to think his thoughts through your thoughts. He decides to use the chamber of your mental faculty as a means to expound upon a transmission that he brought to your spirit. Now, this is what I want you to notice.
a small transmission in your spirit that you received it, and when you received it in the spirit, your spirit was rejoicing. That small transmission. When it touches your soul, oh, it's no longer small. Magnified. It will keep going. It will keep, as long as you are documenting, to keep flowing. Inspiration. Now, my house in Lagos was a transit village, a transit place. So any kind of person can come in. Once you are born again, you are a brother. So, there's this guy that came. When he prays in tongues, he will pray. Then he will begin to prophesy. Alone, no. So I said, okay. Take a pen. That's inspiration. Don't roll. Kai, stop that. That's rubbish. Take a pen and what? The guy will roll. It's not the Holy Ghost that moves you like that. But it's because his spirit is rejoicing. He can't contain it. Then he's rolling. You stay. You can. Your spirit can be rejoicing. And it can be like this. So I taught him. I said, stand like that. You won't fall. Okay. Is that okay? Then take a pen. That thing you are hearing. Right. So he began to make notes. Some of the things happening today, he prophesied it. It is documented. It is the spring of inspiration that he suddenly broke into. And then he couldn't help himself jumping around. I said, no. You won't profit from this thing like this. So, and I didn't want to teach him that you can't stay alone and be prophesying. That the gift of prophecy is meant for a local congregation. So do. That was when he wrote volumes. Volumes of truth. All by inspiration. It came from the stream. And in them, some of them, there were prophecies to me. And those prophecies, we are living in them now. They are not strange to me anymore because the inspiration came. So we are living in them right now. Inspiration can be so powerful. Eh? You are not with me. It can be so powerful that you can come by inspiration and make a statement and you did not even know the meaning. Then the day it will now come to pass. Even you yourself will now. I don't want to use that example. Alright. Should I use that? Alright. Okay. Now, I was posted to Lagos. When I was posted to Lagos, I had to hand over to other brethren, other functionaries to carry on. You were there in that service. Who was there? When I was handing over to Pastor Dan, Joshua, and Pastor Chris, three of them to take over. Then I preached a sermon. That sermon, that was the word that came to me. It came by inspiration. The song of the bow. And what is that song? How are the mighty fallen? How are the weapons of war perish? By inspiration. You want to do handover? Eh? Then you now preach what? How are the mighty falling? How are the weapons of war perish? Is that a normal thing to do? Well, that was the message that came. Unknown to me, one of the people we handed over to that day, Satan deceived him. But you see, I did not have that in mind when I preached that thing. I was just preaching by inspiration. Are you with me? How are the mighty fallen? How are the weapons of war perish? Publish it not in Gad, and not in the streets of Ashkelon. Inspiration can implicate you. You just go somewhere, you just say something, and then Meanwhile, you said it just by inspiration. You didn't know it was prophecy. Then a strange thing happened. That was the sermon I preached. How are they mighty falling? How are the weapons of war perish? Inspiration is powerful. You need to be afraid of a man that operates by inspiration regularly. You know why we need to be afraid of him? He is God that is controlling him. So, you can be his friend and maybe you offend God. Eh? You, in his inspiration, he will be your enemy. Inspiration is a powerful tool that every believer must be trained on how to use. As long as you are born again, you are prone to inspiration. And that's why that scripture says there is a spirit in man, is the inspiration of the Almighty. He had to qualify that because inspiration has many sources. It can come from the coven, it can come from the altar, it can come from Ezemo, it can come everywhere. So inspiration has numerous assortments of sources, but he said the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Second thing about inspiration is in John chapter 14, verse 26. Okay, I'm going to stop after this. We'll continue later in the evening. But let's read John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The first dimension of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach us all things. Secondly, and bring all things to your remembrance wheresoever I have said unto you. Now, the second aspect, bringing things to your remembrance, that's inspiration. Now, in inspiration, God doesn't tell you something you have never known. No. The things are, you know them, but they are in the soil of your soul. He invokes them pertaining to the present revelation position in the spirit. He invokes those things and he brings them to your remembrance. So in the active word for inspiration is remembrance. The active word for inspiration is what? Remembrance. Now, has it ever happened to you before? God spoke something to you many, many years ago. You wrote it down, even for God. And then many years later, the same thing came to your heart. And then you remember that it was even in a diary. Has it happened to you? Inspiration. Inspiration brings things back to light. The Bible says the things that are hidden, bringeth he forth to light. So the active word for inspiration is what? Remembrance. We have a long way to go. We can't even finish this one this month. We'll continue next month. Because I want to dwell on that prophecy thing. I was somewhere and I clicked on Emmanuel TV. And I saw what they were calling prophecy. I clicked on another TV. I saw what they called prophecy. I clicked, and none of those things was prophecy. Clicked on most of the people that they call prophets in Africa. Clicked. None of it was prophecy. None of it. Then I knew we were in trouble. We were in trouble. They say prophecy confirmation. At the beginning of every year, a lot of people prophesy. So I now checked the utterances about the year from our foremost fathers in the faith in Nigeria.
I read one, and those things written all through there were not prophecies. Then I knew that a lot was done as a means to take advantage of the ignorance of the people of God in this generation. Many things pass for what it is not, just because of ignorance. So we have to take time and study what prophecy is. As you come to discover very soon during the study, you will find out that tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. But you need to know that there's a different utterance when a tongue is the gift of diverse tongues. The way the tongues come is different from the tongues you have as a prayer language. Yes. You know what I'm talking about. It comes with intensity. It comes in an inspirational sequence. The utterance is so powerful. It's backed up with divine potency. It is not you talking because you want to pray. It is the Spirit of God that is talking through you. And it's not because you wanted him to talk that he's talking. He has decided to talk. That's why he's talking. I'm going to show you some differences, some things. How you will know. Stay tuned. Now, can we take two questions? Were you writing the questions down? How many of you have written it down? Raise it up on the sheet of paper. All right. Usher, pick that one. Any other person? You wrote it. It's already written down. Good. Give me. So these are the first two. First question is, how do we position ourselves to hear the inner voice of God? How do you position yourself? When making a request to God, should one speak in tongues or in his own understanding? Have you not read in your Bible? The Bible says, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession according to the will of God. So you think God cannot understand the tongues you are speaking? So you have to put it in English and say, O God of Zion, great monarch, beautiful and fair. Oh, Kamayetoko. Most of our parents, they pray in our dialect, in our local dialect. So which one does God hear more? English, Abi, Igede. So, no need to read the other things. But he wrote, for example, no need to. I speak in tongues a lot. Most of my prayers are in tongues. I flow like that. No, I just took two. Online. Somebody asked a question online. Okay. Can a believer have an experience that cannot be directly traced or backed up by any particular scripture? Of course, that can. If the experience cannot be backed up by scripture, the experience is not healthy. Because it's not only God that is the author of experience. We also have other FM stations, other transmitting stations, and they can generate experiences too. One guy went on a fasting spree, came back with tonguish writings, and said the Holy Spirit spoke to him in tongues. And he's going around the nations of the world looking for a prophet that has stature enough to interpret it. He has not come back from his trip. He's still in transit even till now. Hallelujah. Still in transit. May the Lord give you understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. I have heard of major prophets that God, these are guys that speak for God. I mean, why? I need you to understand. Real prophets are not many. In a generation, not even in the nation. real ones, real national territorial prophets are not many. Don't hear everybody. Real prophets are not many. You know what it takes for you to... Meanwhile, there's a major prophet. God came to him, spoke to him, and said, be praying from 12 midnight to 4 a.m. And the prophet was faithful. The prophet was faithful. And then while he was praying, he heard a voice. You can change your prayer time now from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. Then he now started praying 2 a.m. After a long time, God came back to him and said, you have disobeyed me for so years. He said, were you not the one that said I should change the prayer to 2 a.m.? He said, I didn't say anything. That's it. He said, test all things and hold fast to that which is good. We'll show you how to test things. Because we need testing now. Oh my, we need a lot of testing. Have you gone to a place where there is a prophet, supposedly, and there are so many rules. Have you ever gone to such a place? So many rules. You don't step here with shoe. Have you? There are places where they don't step with shoe. You are denying me now. Let's know how far you have gone in this matter. Don't step. You come barefooted here. There are some places that you go barefooted. Somebody has an experience, please. We are still trying to answer the question from the guy online. His name is... Emmanuel. Emmanuel. So, Emmanuel, it's your question we're answering. It is possible for you to have an experience that cannot be directly traced to the Bible. For instance, in the Bible, you may not find anyone say that he had a feeling when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Those feelings are basic. You will have them. Even though we may not be able to trace that somebody said that in the Bible, but it is still accurate. But I'm showing you issues that you need to ponder about. The guy came from his fasting 77 days, and he said an angel appeared to him and wrote in tongues for him to seek a prophet that can interpret. That's not a healthy experience. Is that right? Is that okay? Number two, if an angel appears to you, the angel must say peace. If an angel appears to you and doesn't say peace, you are talking with a demon. Go and check your Bible from start to finish. Every time an angel shows up, he says what? Peace. Because when you see an angel, you will be afraid. The visage is not comely. You'll be afraid. So the angel will have to calm you down. Peace. Meanwhile, you can have an encounter with an angelic being that doesn't even know the scriptures, doesn't know that is the protocol. There is every need for you to doubt that experience. So it is possible for you to have encounters that are not healthy. If it is possible, how can you defend such experiences and encounters? No, we are not defending the fact that somebody spoke in tongues and is looking for interpretation. We don't have precedence for that. Okay? But as you relate with the spirit, there's something called signals. Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show his servant the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it. Signal, sign language, signs. There is every experience that the Holy Spirit gives you, you can find scripture for it. QED. You may not be able to find scripture for, maybe it's on the head, you are feeling it, but that's a signal. It's captured in signals. The one I said, they touched me here. I may not be able to find somebody in the Bible that said, they touched him here. But it is under
signal. There's a broad stroke that captures all those kinds of dealings. Every experience cannot explain with a verse of scripture is not a healthy experience. Emmanuel, you're online. If you are not satisfied, ask again. Ask another one. But that's the answer. There are scriptures that capture the broad strokes of those experiences. He sent and signified it unto his servant John by his angel. The book of Revelation did not come in form of very cognitive communications. It came in form of sign language, signals that angels sent. Yes. Signals. So there are some communications that are in signal form. Signal form. Sign form. Sign language form. Hallelujah. Secondly, there are also some experiences that are inner experiences. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, when the first consignment of power delivery begins to come into your vessel, there are many experiences you will have. Sometimes you might feel some parts of your body hot. Those are the experiences that a carrier of power has. And those are signals. Hallelujah. Every experience that is healthy can be explained with the Bible. If you notice, what I've been explaining since are experiences I have had. And I'm using the Bible to teach those experiences. The reason why I can find scriptures that witness about those experiences is because my experiences are healthy. If I see experiences that are contrary to scripture, I will reject them. And at some level, when you are going high, there are other beings in the spirit realm that will come and say, I want to make you great. They'll speak church language. Yes. Deceiving spirits. But it's somewhere along the line, if you know where to look, you will know that this one is not from God. And those are the things I intend to show you. All these things I'm teaching are based on the school I've attended with the Holy Ghost. And I can use scriptures to teach you my experiences. Because those experiences are not exclusive to me. Those experiences are spiritual experiences given by the Holy Ghost. And believers can relate to them. And they can use the story of my own experience to begin to master some things that is happening in their life. And understand some things that are happening in their lives. So there is no such... Okay, he has asked another one. So please text Emmanuel and ask him, has he understood now? Somebody from Russia. What does it mean when a believer sees himself floating in dreams whenever he's preaching, teaching before the presence of God? Is it in line with scriptures? Floating. Have you not read the book of Isaiah? That the Spirit carried. You people don't study the Bible. I don't think you study the Bible anymore. Oh my God. Ezekiel. He carried me using the locks of my head and suspended me between earth and heaven. Go and study your Bible. That's my recommendation. To Moses from Russia, study your Bible. Took me, held the locks of my head, suspended me between the earth and heaven, and took me to the Lord's house. Hallelujah. That is transport. Is that clear? Let's take one more. Then, how do we position ourselves to hear the inner voice? One, you don't choose to hear the inner voice. It's not one of the choices you have the leverage of making. Meanwhile, all I've been teaching so far is to make you identify all the possible channels he may use If you are waiting for inner voice, he might decide that because you are waiting, I won't use inner voice again for you. So don't put your heart, it's wrong for you to put your heart on a particular channel. He is the one that decides what channel he uses to reach out to you. Which channel in his own interest is more suitable for your situation, for your circumstance. He decides that. So you don't decide that. Then secondly, if what you are asking is, how do we position ourselves to hear the voice of God? I shared a lot of experiences during the lecture. First of all, you need to change your energy level. Go pray in tongues for 10 hours. Put yourself, take a fast. You walk around too much. Go lock yourself inside. Take your Bible. Take some messages, some tips. Be playing, you speak in tongues. You study the Bible. You sleep, you wake up, you pray. You will come. He will come. When he comes, he will know. But he may not use the inner voice. He might just lay a scripture on your heart. So it should be a regular part of a believer's life to once in a while come indoors, lock the door, and stay with God. Even if you are the vice president, you should be able to do that. The last time I checked, they don't work on Sunday. You can decide that I will not go anywhere. I will lock my... I want to. You will never master this thing, if you don't pay the price. You can't know it on the streets. And that's what I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Have you replied, Emmanuel? Every experience from God, every, can be explained by the Bible. Number two, the people that have walked in the anointing before, are you with me? If you claim that you have a teaching anointing, we have seen A.A. Allen, we know how he ministers. Benny Hinn, we know how he ministers. Reinhard Bonnke, we know how he ministers. All the people that have moved in healing. And then you come, you start a kind of ministration that is different from. Then we need to watch you closely. Because when you are under the influence of a spirit, most times you don't control the way you behave. The spirit suggests how you should do it. So when we see the way the spirit is suggesting, and we compare it with other people that have walked in the similar kind of anointing you claim to have, and the differences is clear, then we know we have a case to watch. Because in my village, the native doctors know how to heal broken bones. And they don't call the name of Jesus. They have a way that they do it. They can take a chicken, break the leg, begin to treat the chicken, and you start getting well. They will not touch your leg. Nobody will massage your leg. They'll be touching that chicken. And then you'll be crying. And then somebody comes to church, then he's doing like this. It looks like those people do those things, and they you are not following. It looks more like those people than the administration of the healing and anointing. But that alone is not sufficient ground to label the person fake or accurate. We will do the Bible study. You will see. Be patient. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Have you given the Emmanuel the feedback? Okay. So every experience you have can be supported by scripture. You are not the first person to have the Holy Ghost. There are other people that have functioned in the Holy Spirit, and there's enough orbital of examples in the Bible to give us different dimensions of experiences that are captured in the Holy Ghost. And God doesn't need to go outside of those experiences that are already charted in the Bible to give you an experience, and not that experience. He doesn't need to go outside of it. So, but Maybe your own problem may be that you have not studied the Bible enough to be able to articulate your experience in Scripture. So I recommend Bible study. But we'll do quite a lot of stuff here to enable understanding on these matters. Hallelujah. This is not for prophets, this is for believers. Because according to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 29, Moses said, I wish that all the Lord's children were prophets, and that he will put his spirit upon them. He wasn't saying that everyone was going to operate in the prophetic office, but he was saying that everyone will function in the prophetic nature, because they will have the spirit of God. And what the school of prophets is about is teaching people systematically how to relate with the investment of the Holy Spirit that we are given on the account of our salvation, more so on the account of our being filled with the Holy Ghost, for the evidence of speaking in tongues. When we gain mastery on how to believe, there is a huge, huge potential that is unlocked within us, and we begin to realize what the Scriptures mean. That whatsoever is born of God, comes from God, derives from God, overcomes the world. And that's the key to victory. We learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit such that our life is actually an expression of His ideas, and we can overcome the devil. We can overcome the systems of this world. We can overcome the trappings that have been set up in this age to ensure that we don't follow God accurately. We can overcome it. We can surmount it by the Spirit of God. And I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. Up until now, I hope it's not so strange. Because I remember some of my brethren the other time, they came, they said, Pastor, wait, we know that 1 + 1 = 2. Can't you make your preaching like that? So that, but they did not know that time. I did not have the grace to make it easy. My preachings before this time were complex, not because I made it so. Because I am complex, that's the problem. I needed another layer of impartation for me to be able to make it simple. God is helping me now. Hallelujah. Any more questions before we begin to pray? No, not from the hall again. Get from the other people. Any more questions? One. Okay. So there's something there. So we are going to major on inspiration. Inspiration. We'll look at the symptoms of inspiration, just like we have started doing. And the key word to watch in inspiration is what? Remembrance. Very important. Hallelujah. Remembrance. Okay, so let me do practical for your guitar is not. I'm hearing one guitar. Who is playing that one? You are on duty, but the sound is low. If you have a guitar at home, bring it this evening. Especially if you can string it. We have three. Then I will show you how the prophets of old used to enjoy life. They set up a procedure, and the Holy Spirit comes to animate it. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Linus from Ukraine. How long does it take for the Holy Ghost to keep warning a believer? I don't pray that you'll be so stubborn that when the Holy Ghost warns you, you will still continue that thing that He is warning you about. I don't pray you'll be that kind of a believer. Because He can actually transfer your calling to somebody else. While you are still young, He packages your calling, He transfers it, then He will keep you alive. You will live long to see that person that God chose in your stead rise and do everything you were called to do. Don't test God's patience. Be quick to repent when the Spirit of God shows you an error. Hallelujah. Be what? Quick. For those of us that know that without the Holy Ghost, we are a failed project. Peace, the peace of the Spirit in my heart is a great treasure to me. And it's not something I'm about to lose. Hallelujah. If you have not sought deeper expression in the Spirit, you can be careless with your life. But if you have started seeking deeper expressions of the Spirit, there are some luxuries you will not be able to afford. That's how the system is built. The teaching of holiness is basic teaching. It's nursery teaching. It's kindergarten teaching. Just to set you in motion, to relate with a spirit that is holiness himself. It's kindergarten teaching. And holiness is not about you wear this, don't wear that. You know what? If you grow in God, grow. The Holy Ghost will regulate all of us. If you are, those details will be captured in his dealings. Are you with me? There are some things you can wear to some level. At some point, it will whisper to you. Inspiration will come to you. We cannot use the Bible to give people a dress code. The Bible is not capable of that. I hope you know that. It's not capable. And the Bible school people, we did those permutations, brought all those scriptures out. Make a dress code out of this, let's see. Because that scripture you are talking about, the one you are thinking, go back and read the context. Read it. You will find out that it's lack of biblical understanding that is responsible for human beings bringing their own traditions to church. You can't make a dress code through the Bible. Those are areas that are... Okay, somebody might be asking me now, okay, Pastor, because we can't make a dress code out of the Bible, what if somebody comes here naked? The person that comes here naked knows what he's doing. Are you following? He's not doing it unconsciously. The person is doing it consciously. But I'm talking about believers that want to walk with God. Eh? They want to move on with God. We can't generate a dress code using the Bible. No. By the time you go, leave Nigeria, go to France. Somebody, if you still have a message, then you have been studying the Bible. Some of the messages you preach, you can only preach them in Tiv land. Go to Ghana, you will find out you don't have a message. Those areas are areas that if you are working with the Holy Ghost, he will deal with. That's how it's supposed to be. Not everything that is captured in doctrine. Not everything is captured in doctrine. And if you are a faithful preacher to the Word of God, you will say what the Word of God has said, and you leave the rest to God. If you go beyond what the Word of God has allowed, you have joined league with controlling spirits to want to control people and to clone people. Meanwhile, covering and cloning are different. Covering and cloning are what? I know somebody is really troubled that I made that statement, that you cannot make a dress code with the Bible. The person is troubled. I feel your concern. Okay, because of you, let's study it. You know, we are not a denomination. This is the only thing we have, the Bible. Alright, this is what we have. This is our creed. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, and the reason why we are doing this is because the church of our time has deviated from, most churches of our time have deviated from the basic work that the church was set up for. So the only thing we have is the Bible. And that will not change. So we don't have a denominational doctrine. This is not.
It's like the school of Tyrannus, where people came and debated on what the truth was. At the end of the day, bringing facts, they now discovered this is the truth. The truth is a fixed star, not a relative pendulum. The scripture that is troubling you is what? What scripture? Before, if you are the one troubled, you can speak out. Okay, nobody is troubled. Okay, since you are not troubled, you can't generate a dress code with the Bible. This book is the book I know the most on earth. This book. The Bible says, a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man. The Bible says, in the same scripture, do not sow your land with different crops. So don't sow onion and tomato. Do you do that one? The same scripture says, do not wear a garment of diverse material. That is, it should be, if you are wearing wool, it should be wool 100%. Yes. So why are you pressing that first one when you are not doing the remaining? If we are going to obey it the way it is, why are we not emphasizing mixed cropping the way we are emphasizing that women should not wear trousers? That is even unrighteousness in itself. Why are you not going to the boutique and asking them, is it 100% wool? Because it's the same strand of scripture. And all those things is actually referring to one message. All those are different assortments of one message. What message? Why don't you ask them that, is this wool? Are you sure it's 100%? Or linen, 100% linen. If you wear 100% linen in the sun, your flesh will get burnt. So I pity people. When I see people preaching that kind of, I pity our generation. That a senior minister of this kata has not studied the Bible enough to know the spirit in the book. The context of all of those messages that came in the Bible is that you guys are going to possess a land. This is the culture of the people in that land that made me angry and defeated them for your sake. Don't go and adopt that culture. If not me myself, I will defeat you. Then he began to mention the culture. I see. What is that telling you? Be not conformed to this. That's the principle. Look. Be not conformed to this world. That's the principle at work there. So, in answer, a woman must not wear that which pertains to a man. Because in that culture, in the worship of their gods, women wear armor to worship their god. So he mentioned that. In that culture, they do mixed cropping. He mentioned that. In that culture, they wear garments of diverse kinds. He mentioned that. All of these things are illustrations of be not conformed to the world. Telling us that as Christians, we must be separate from the world. That's the principle. Separation from. Separation from the world. Is that clear? That's what is being taught in all the layers of that scripture. We are not conforming to the world, to the style of the world.
is a teaching of separation from others. Those were examples of what those people were doing. And God is using that comparison in that context to teach us a principle in His kingdom. So if you don't know, you will go and you want to obey it literally, and you can succeed in obeying it literally and not be obeying the principle that is illustrated. Did you get that? So, and if we say, okay, let's obey it literally, then you are guilty already, because you don't have 100% cutting, and it's an abomination unto God. So the other additives were added to show us the broad stroke of what it entails, of many diverse examples of how you should not be conformed to the world. It's not a prescription, but it's a principle that has been illustrated. And it's in the New Testament that we see the principle clearly. But those examples were used to illustrate that principle. So the teaching aid and what is taught are different things. I can use a blackboard as a teaching aid, but a blackboard is not what I'm teaching. I can use an example as a teaching aid, but that is not what I'm teaching. Get what I'm using the teaching aid to teach. So you must understand that. When all of us begin to grow in the Holy Ghost, you will see how needless that doctrinal emphasis is. You will see great people like Catherine Kuhlman with her crazy glasses and mini skirt. Whereas, I will not recommend mini skirt for you anyway. But wait, it's an extreme case. With her mini skirt on the streets. And while she's going on the streets, everywhere she passes, the people are slain. The Holy Ghost in Catherine Kuhlman did not forbid her to wear crazy glasses. If you have a problem with it, you don't wear, but don't judge. Are you with me? So if I want to make everybody look the way I think, that is cloning. It's witchcraft. So allow, do your own and allow Holy Ghost to do His own. Don't bend the scripture to make it say what it's not saying. Because if that is what the scripture is saying, you will find two scriptures in the Bible to support that position. Because the Bible says, as a mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter is established. So go and look for another scripture. Join with that one. Bring your position. Then we'll establish it as doctrine. If you cannot do that, is that clear? You may not like me, but you can't disprove me with scripture. So stop that fake thing. Let all of us grow. Stop that fake thing. Okay. Esty. Where is Esty? Give her my mic. The other one I use. Alright. Give Esty. So don't, if all of us begin to grow, there's one guy that joined us in Lagos. He has, his hair is like this. You are not with me. You know this type of, and he moved into service. Nobody talked to him. We just prayed, shared the word of God and closed. The next time he came, he has shaved his hair. Nobody, Holy Ghost was just walking. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do His own. Let carnal human beings not try to clone people. Allow Holy Spirit to walk. You need to see how crazy that guy's hair was. The hair just came like this. Nobody said anything to him. He came back. The transformation that the Holy Spirit will give you will last. You can dress the way you want to dress, dress like this, and you still not know God. So you have majored on strange points that Don't strike any chord in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I hate religion with passion. It's because of our commitment to religion that the Holy Spirit left. We didn't even know. Doing our religion. Doing our religion. Doing our, he is going. Darkness is coming. We are still doing religion. Esty, please, listen to her as we.
Praise the Lord. Concerning this scripture, I just want to make a contribution. Now, we need to understand that the Bible is a cultural book, and it's also a contextual book. There are a lot of commandments that if you just read them isolated, they seem not to make sense. For example, God said, don't cease, don't cook a kid in his mother's milk. It doesn't look relevant. What was going on there was that the children of Israel were about to go to Canaan, and Canaan was a highly adulterous nation. You know, scripture says there's nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
Everything we are seeing has been practiced in one way or the other. I found out that all the devil is doing in successive generations is repackaging. The spirits are still the same. The principle, he's simply repackaging it, making it look tush to every generation, making it look different. The principles are the same. It is this same principle of transgenderism, homosexuality, and all the crazy things we have on earth that God was talking about.
Yeah.
Because, for example, the Canaanites, that's where prostitution started. They had these girls and boys there in the temple. And then the worshippers would come, pay a sum, and sleep with them in context of worship. They were sleeping with the gods. That was the understanding. They simply brought it out of the temple to society, and that is what we know as prostitution today. So in the same vein, when God said the women should not put on the men's clothing and the men the women, it was the spirit of homosexuality he was addressing, because it was also in context of worship. And we see it today, like men will be making up and all of that. It was the spirit of homosexuality, transgenderism, unisexuality. God made us distinct. He's not confused. If he wanted another man for Adam, he could have made him in the garden.
Adam and Steve.
Or if he wanted another woman for Eve, he could have made it. He could have made for Eve. He could have been Eve and Mary. You know, he's not confused. He wanted that distinction. And so all this unisexism, transgenderism and all of that, that was the spirit he was tackling. Praise the Lord.
So do you understand that? If all of us can grow in God, God will fine-tune your own life. And there are several things that brought you okay. When God deals with you, he might emphasize in your life, and he may not touch those things with me. There's going to be a lot of diversity, that is specific diversity with each and every one of us. That our outcome, what the areas God will tackle in your own life and tackle very well, you will be very accurate there. Eh? You will look somehow. There are some other areas he will not touch. So at the end of the day, we are going to be different. But if I come as a pastor, try to make us the same, cloning. That's religion. Do you understand that? So please, let us strive to know the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Now, we'll pray for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Can we do that? And the prayer is simple. It's the same prayer all through. Holy Spirit, help me to know you more. 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 Help me to know you. Help me to know you. In this wicked age, let me grow with you. Let me rise with you. Let me know you. Amosele Kantalia Mahalabana. Ecobalatose Brigadella Santomina Haskesahanto Lia Marhalambate Mesonda Rika.
Esso mana sai la tanso mene casque se pregete la supria la maratos candes aminata de manto la pra santa brata barata planta babole malate fresche sai metto massa planta barabasa eta planta barrobe nasce santo lia prascana la marato. You want to ask him to grant that your perception will be clearer, your perception will be more accurate, your perception will be stronger, your perception will be stronger, your perception will be stronger. And just in case there's a stream of inspiration you were enjoying that you have lost, ask him for a restoration of that stream, a restoration of that stream. Let that stream be open. Let that stream be open. Let that stream be open again. Let that stream be open. Mante so moroko sama. Aitama la praskata babore malatis. Embra masanta praska sama barata matala babore. Engo malato santelia planta babaratu sato pregede. Let a stream of inspiration, let it burst forth, 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 let it burst forth. In the name of Jesus, every lost stream of inspiration, let it be restored. Let it be restored in the name of Jesus. Let it be restored. Let a sweetness come into our experience with God. Let God be sweet. Let walking with God be sweet. Let connecting with God be sweet. Let prayer be a sweet experience, something that we'll look forward to again and again. As God magnifies himself within us, Lord, we ask today that every stream that we have lost be restored in the name of Jesus. Hosa mama mama mama. Ole na 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 masaka praskata habaroke sabe no borose. We give you glory, we give you praise. Mantele sobria casanto bena planta babo. Menta la morasso nata pregete la sapriata babori malata santa babori. Encoman santa planta barata planta babo la tamena sapriata babonte. Enga malato sempre. Manta la barato samina praske sompres gabarate mo samahan. Anka barata santa praska samina planta babori. Eta bansa nata planta babora naske pre. Manka balata planta basupri ala babota mahalatala. Aka basata planta basopre gede. Ala sopre gede. Ala sopre gede. Ala sopre gede. Samina taita kantemo no sepri. Akai la barasa ta la manta la barata. Menzon pe la tale. Eka bansa manta la barata. Mina planta babori balasa. Jesus. Oh God, ask him to restore the stream. The stream. The stream. The stream of inspiration. Surrender your thoughts to his spirit. Give your thoughts over to him. You can think through my thoughts. You can think through my thoughts, oh Holy Ghost. You can think through my thoughts, oh Holy Ghost. Mayeto, mayeto, mayeto. There is a sweetness that will be part of your experience with God. A sweetness, a beauty, a beauty, a beauty. Turn over your mind and say, you can have my mind. You can have my mind. You can have my mind. You can think through my mind. You can flow through my mind. You can flow through my mind. I am your vessel. I am your vessel. I am your vessel.
I am your vessel. I am your vessel. You can flow through my mind. You can flow through my mind. Flow through my mind. Flow through my mind. Moshala marapata sakapala. Give him your mind. There are so many things that can come through your vessel. So many things that can come. So much wisdom that can come. Original wisdom. Wisdom that has never been stumbled upon. You don't need to be a copy. God in you is original. Ask him to flow through your mind. Let the sweetness of the river of inspiration begin to break out. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. For the Lord has given unto me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened me morning by morning. He wakened my ear to hear. Now, there is a awakening, that there's an awakening that your ear must be subject to. Can we ask him, awaken my ear to hear? Awaken my ear. For he wakened me morning by morning. He wakened me to hear. Awaken my ears. I've been deaf for too long. I've been deaf for too long. I've been without hearing for a long, long time. I've been without hearing. Awake my ears. Awake my ears to hear. Jesus, awake my ears. Awake my ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Awaken my ears to hear. Do a work in my life that will affect my hearing. Let my hearing be affected. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let my ears be affected. I want to hear you. I want to hear your voice. I want to walk in your commandments. I want to obey your instructions. Awaken me to hear. Awaken my ears in the morning time. Let my ears be awakened unto thy voice, unto thy commandments, unto thy instructions. Awaken my ears. Cover Senemonte.
Awaken my ears. Glory
to your name. Glory, Lord. Glory. Awaken my ears. In the name of Jesus. Now the Lord just said that there's somebody here that you were an expert in reception, an expert in hearing accurately, an expert in receiving the mind of God. And you lost that stream. You lost it. God is about to restore your hearing. It's about to restore your hearing. It's about to awaken your ear. Awaken your ears to hear. Awaken it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. We ask, O God, that you awaken the ears of the deaf, that they might hear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Now we have overshot the time. Because of that, no practical. We'll come in the evening, do the piece on inspiration. Then we'll do a contrast and a comparison. Then we need to do practice. It has to take 30 minutes. 30 minutes of practicals. 30 minutes. Because I will lead you in some prayers, and God will answer the prayers, and then we'll see how the answers will come. And this will give you confidence when you are alone. You know, the thing about Elisha was that, you know, the prophets were together prophesying and confirming to themselves. But their journey is in destiny that you embark upon, and you'll be alone. There'll be nobody to confirm that what you heard was either right or wrong. It is because of that that we need to school you so that you can have confidence in the move of God in your life, such that when there is no confirmation, you will know that this indeed is the voice of God.